Started because I'm going to try and pack it all in, but I don't want the next session to have to start late. Shakoach to Rabbi Harari. Marriage has become much more challenging in a world where people are constantly interacting with other people. I think 100 years ago, for sure 200 years ago, people lived their lives, husband and wife, in their home. There was, of course, no internet. There was no television. There was no telephone. There was no telegraph. People communicated with very few other people, interacted with very few other people. In today's world, people are constantly interacting with hundreds and thousands of people who put their lives on the line, who present other things that are often more attractive than what people have gotten used to in their own homes. And protecting and strengthening marriage has become very difficult. I give a much lengthier shiur, which definitely isn't for a half an hour, about building and maintaining a strong marriage. You can find it on YU Torah for those who are interested in it. But what I'm going to speak about this morning is one particular aspect, which I believe is the first step for the bigger picture too, but a significant step in and of itself. And in order to introduce the topic, I'd like to begin with Sheva Brachot. As we know, the Sheva Brachot, which are our blessings, our direction, our wishes for the couple, begin with Borei Pri HaGafen, okay, the general bracha on drinking wine we say when we're celebrating something. And then there are six brachot. One of the six is remembering Yerushalayim. Sos tasis v'tagela akara v'kibbutz banea. The other five you would think would relate to marriage. And what's interesting is to see what these brachot focus on. If you look at page one, and there are makorot up at the bima, every one of the five brachot focus on God's creation. In fact, the first one doesn't even mention man and woman. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam shehakol baro lechvodo. God created everything. Why is this part of Sheva Brachot? It doesn't mention man or woman. The last bracha, Asher Bara, returns to that same theme. Sheva Brachot begin and end with the Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, interestingly, if you look at the three in between, they also talk about creation. Now, specifically about man and woman, and with a different term. Not the term Bara, but the term Yotzar, Yotzer. The first bracha, Yotzer HaAdam. The second one also, Yotzer HaAdam. We'll get to that in a moment. The third one, Sameach Tesamach Reyom Ha'avuvim Kisamechecha Yetzircha B'Gan Eden Mikedem. So to summarize, the Sheva Brachot that focus on marriage are about creation. They begin and end with Bria. In the middle, we talk about the Yetzira of man and woman from man. And the question I'd like to pose that the Shia will relate to is, what lesson are these brachot trying to give us about how husband and wife should view each other? And I'd like to begin the explanation with the brachot that are about man and woman themselves, Yotzer HaAdam Asher Yatzar Et HaAdam. And if you note, the second and third brachot have the same conclusion, Yotzer HaAdam, which is surprising. Why would we have two brachot that end exactly the same way? Chazal explained that this duality is expressive of the duality we find in the stories of the creation of man and woman. If you look at the second source on page one, Bereishit Perek Aleph, as we know, talks about the creation of all species, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vayasa Elokim et chayat haaretz limina, bet habei ma limina, bet kol remes ha'adama liminehu. And then it talks about the creation of man, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. For the first time it's presented as, end of Pasuk Chaf Zayin, bara oto zachar u'nekeva. Of course, other species are also male and female. But only by man do we specify zachar u'nekeva. There's something special to the zachar u'nekevaness of man. But let's look now at Pasuk of Zion carefully at the end. B'tzelem Elokim bara oto zachar u'nekeva bara otam. Man is a composite being. On the one hand, one. On the other hand, two. There's a two-ness in the oneness, and the oneness that's a two-ness that's Bereshit Perek Aleph. But the one thing you see clearly is that it's one creation of one being. If you look at the very next Perek, Perek Bet, there of course we have a very different story. Pasuk Zayin talks about the creation of man, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min ha'adama. And then after we're told in Pasuk Yudchet that God sees it's not good for man to be alone, Lo tov heyot ha'adam levado, eselo ezer kinegdo, God programs man to need more than just himself. Very important idea. So that we should realize there's more in the world than just ourselves. God waits for man to appreciate this aloneness before solving the problem. Pesukim Yutet and Chaf, he brings him all the animals to name. Pasuk Chaf, man sees that every animal has a mate. Uli Adam lo matza ezer kenegdo, end of Pasuk Chaf, like Pasuk Yutchet. God realized it in Pasuk Yutchet, but he doesn't create Chava for Adam until man realizes it. Very important lesson, of course. Marriage is not possible until a person appreciates that they're missing something, that they're missing someone. And then, of course, Pesukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet, God puts man to sleep, takes the tzela, which simple translation in Jewish as opposed to Christian seems to be the side, the face of man, not the rib. The rib is, of course, a Christian interpretation. God builds the woman from man. Very different story than Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph tells us God created this one being, Zachar Nekeva. Perek Bet, we hear about a first creation, a second creation. The Gemara in Ketuvot at the bottom of page 1 explains that the reason we have these two brachot is because of these two stages, Perek Aleph and Perek Bet. And the Gemara says something fascinating. Initially, it suggests that maybe we say two brachot because there were shtei yetzirot. There were two stages of creation. Man created as one, and then man separated, woman separated from man as stage 2. Then the Gemara says something even more profound. It says, you know what? Maybe it's not because there were two creations. It's batar machshava azlinan. It's because of what God's initial thought was. And the Gemara tells us, last lines on page 1, that God initially intended to create man as 2, then created them as 1, and separated the 1 into 2 afterwards. Which almost seems like God couldn't make up his mind. Initially he intended to create us as 2, actually created us as 1, only to separate us into 2. And that's why we have 2 brachot, to commemorate the 2 before, the 2 after. And this really is a basic summary of the beauty and tension of marriage. Marriage is where two people feel connected to each other, though they're really two different people, who each feel different things and want different things. The challenge of marriage is to feel the oneness while respecting the two-ness, to give space to each other, to be able to live our lives as we feel at the same time that we're really living each other's lives as one. And the simple answer I want to give to the guide to building and maintaining the marriage cell is appreciating how we look together. And we'll soon see why I use that exact phrase. And I don't mean, of course, how we look when we dress up. I mean how we look on the basic level of the relationship between the two of us. If we turn to page 2 and page 3, I want to speak about how Chazal saw the significance of this fact that we emanate from one being. God knew we had to be 2. But created us as one, even though we would become 2, so that we would be part of one, so that we could see ourselves as part of one. This has both objective and subjective significance. Let's start on page 2 with the objective significance, the definition of a human being. In the pasuk we read earlier, it talks about Zachar Nekeva Bara'am. Later in Perek Hey, the Torah again summarizes the creation. Pasuk Bet. Start with Pasuk Aleph. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam B'yom Bero Elokim Adam, when God created man B'dmut Elokim Zachar Nekeva Abraham, he created them as male and female. Vayivarech Otam Vayikra Et Shmam Adam. He didn't call the male component Adam. God called them Adam. The Gemara in Yevamot reaches the natural conclusion from this. Amar Rabbi Elazar, call Adam She'ein lo isha, eino adam. A person without a spouse is not a human being. Is not a complete human being. She'ne'amar, zachar nekeva Abraham vayikrat shmam adam. The very famous Zohar, which most of us know but don't know where it comes from, both the source and what the source of the source is. The Zohar says that a male and female, husband and wife, are part of one neshama. And when they come back together, they become the one body and the one neshama that are really meant to be connected to one another. Where do we know this from? We know this from the fact that in creation, the two as one are what's called Adam. The Medrash Rabbah, last source on page 2, speaks about this more at length. And it begins, the lo tov heyot Adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone. Tani Rebbe Yaakov, kol she'ein lo isha, a person without a spouse, shoroi, below tova, below ezer, below simcha, below bracha, below kapara. And the Medrash now brings sources for each of these things. But the totality of all the details is that for a human being to be a complete human being and to have the emotions that a human being is supposed to feel in the right way, it's only when reconnecting with this other person. And again, I'm using the word that way. It's not just finding a spouse. It's completing oneself. As we turn to page 3, I want to speak about the subjective implications of this, which are even more powerful than the objective things, which may be definitional, but may not be things we necessarily feel. The Gemara famously in Kiddushin Daf Bet speaks about a man courting a woman. And it explains that the reason men are attracted to and look to court women is because they are missing something. They feel that they're trying to find the missing piece of themselves. Mivnei shedarko shel ish lechazer ala isha, like a baal ha'aveda, that's mechazer ala avedato. And Rashi explains, the aveda is achat mitzalotav, the peace, the faith that's missing from his original being. It's a beautiful story told about this idea in the Gemara in Ketuvot Daf Samach Bet. It says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was working to marry off his son in the house of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. And they made the shidduch, and they agreed that before they would get married, the boy would go off to learn for 12 years. You know the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, etc. Okay, they agreed he's going to go learn for 12 years. End of the second line, it says, Achlafua kameh. The girl walked by in front of where the son of Rebbe was sitting, and the son leaned over to his father Rebbe and he said, can we make it 6? And the next line it says, Achlafua kameh again. She passed in front of him a second time and he said, can we do it now? And they got married on the spot. The boy was embarrassed, as if he couldn't put his ideals before his feelings. And he said to his father, is there something wrong with me? Many of our sons sometimes can feel this way because they've gotten the impression that somehow this relationship, there's something wrong with it. And of course, it's because we live in a world where they're so exposed to sexuality before they're ready to get married, and creates all kinds of problems. I'm sure Dr. Pelkowitz can speak about more at length. So, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said to him, Das kon chayesh b'cha. The feelings you have are the way God has created you. It's what God wants you to feel. It's what God feels for the Jews, and what God wants you to feel for each other. This is not something to be embarrassed about. You're feeling this missing piece. And the source, if we look at the fourth source on page 3, is the pasuk where man looks at his new mate. And it's the first words he utters in the Torah. The first words of man are a song about a woman. And of course, that's continued ever since. Vayomer ha'adam, zot apam, this time, as opposed to all those animals I met before. Etzem me'atzamayu basar mibsari. It's a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Lezot yikare isha. That's why she's called a woman, ki me'ish lukachazot, because she's taken from me. Al kain, he adds, or the Torah adds, it's because of that. Yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davak v'yishto v'yu lebasar echad. The potential for this dveikut, two times in the Torah, the only two times where the word dveikut is used, is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And I believe that God creates us as people who need each other so that we can have dveikut with Him too. Because only if we get used to needing other people we can see and feel, can we even begin to fathom connecting to someone we don't see and don't feel as powerfully as we feel each other. Al kein yazov ish aviv et imo. Why is it? From where does this ability come? That a human being who owes everything to his parents, he emanates from his parents, his loyalty is to his parents, his love and feelings are for his parents, meets a girl or girl meets boy, 2 weeks, 2 months, done. Suddenly, their loyalty is to somebody else. Where did that come from? How could that be? Zot apam etzem me'atzamayu basar mibsari. This idea is expressed through the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that comments on Yitzchak meeting Rivka. First date, vatehilo le'isha. They married, vayavel, and he loved her, vayinachen Yitzchak acharei imo. Yitzchak was still mourning over his mother. He meets this girl, done. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, when a person grows up, their loyalties are to their parents. Lakach isha, ahavatoho lechet achar ishto. Suddenly the heart goes after another. And for parents in the room, when your kids meet that person, you should strengthen this. You need to tell your child the first time they feel torn between you and their spouse. You should tell them, your loyalty is meant to be to your spouse. Care about me, let's do our best. But first, you build this bond by following those natural feelings. What about the mitzvah? That's where it starts. The Ramban and the Rashba on the bottom of page 3 both speak about this beautiful idea of the power of the connection of how a person's life can change dramatically as they feel part of something else and their loyalties shift, starting from the fact that it's etzem me'atzamayu basar mi'psari. The Ramban points out that if you look in the Torah in Parshat Achimot, when it talks about the Arayot, it talks about she'er b'saro. She'er b'saro. The pieces of your own flesh. Your parent is part of your own flesh. Your siblings are part of your own flesh. But he says, your spouse is the deepest, most significant part of your own flesh. And that's why Al-Kenya Azov Yishet Aviv Yeti Movet Avak B'yishto. And the Rashba, on the bottom of page 3, highlights this point when he says, let's look at the last line here. Al-Kain Nivret Etzem Me'atzamav. That's why God created woman in a way that she would come from man. Liot HaDveikut Behem Behemet. So the coming together could be true, not artificial. V'chazak Yoter MiDveikut HaBen La'avu Lehem. Stronger than the sticking power of a child to parents. Shehu Migufam. He came from them. A human being comes from his parents. There's a difference between where you come from and what comes from you. People care about their children more than they care about anyone in the world. It comes from them. And it starts with your spouse that really comes from you as well. And of course, some explain means the relationship, the physical relationship between husband and wife. And others explain the creation of a child that comes through that relationship. And it's not a machloket, because the two are one, literally and figuratively. By coming together with that other person who's your oneness, you generate a oneness that is what binds you through that common creation, which expresses the common oneness of the bond between the two people. So this is part one. Marriage is, not just for Jews, for human beings, meant to be a return to a oneness that God went out of His way to create as an intermediate stage between the two stages of two-ness. His intention to create two. The ultimate practical need for there to be two. But the intermittent stage of one. So that we truly are part of one whole. Having seen this, we can now move to the second part of the Shia, which is our goal and mission of emphasizing and changing our mindset from seeing ourselves as individuals to seeing ourselves as a whole. And this is the big challenge. Because we each grow up in our own world. And especially today where people get married at a relatively later age, their personality is formed, their identity is formed, their mission is formed. And suddenly you're bringing this other person and saying, okay, do it together. Now if the together is two people working together, it's never going to achieve what marriage is supposed to be. It takes work to change one's perspective from being an individual to being a we. Let's look at the top of page 4. We spoke already about Yitzchak's meeting with Rivka. We know that they were unable to have children, and it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, "Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem lenochach ishto ki akarahi." Yitzchak davened opposite his wife. Rashi explains, he in one corner, she in the other corner. What was the significance of this tefillah structure? The Radak and the Chizkuni both give the same explanation. They say Yitzchak was davening for Rivka. Why? Yitzchak knew he would have a child. God had promised Avram, "Ki bi Yitzchak yikara l'chazara." He just didn't know if the child would come from Rivka. And what he was saying to God was, this is part of me. I only want this achdut and this oneness to come from this woman. I don't want to have to resort to what my father Avram had to do to have a child. Please allow me to have my child through this woman. The source of this is the Midrash, last source in number 1 here, which quotes the Lashon of Yitzchak's Tefillah, Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Banim Sheata Notein Li Yihyu Min HaTzedeket Hazo. Af Yomra Ken, and she was davening the same way, Kol Banim Sheata Atid Li Tein Li Yihyu Min HaTzedek Hazo. An appreciation of the other person, not just who they are as a person, but the oneness we have with each other, where we want our self-fulfillment to come through this other person, the relationship with this other person. And we see this generations later in the descendants of Yitzchak and Rivka in Mitzrayim, in a very difficult time for the Jewish people. The men don't want to have children, and we can understand why they don't want to. And the women beautify themselves and take their mirrors out with them into the field. We know about this story because if you look at number 2, Shmot Perek Lamed Chet, when it's time to create the kiyar, the wash basin in the Mishkan, they need mirrors. The women bring their makeup mirrors. And Moshe says this is inappropriate for the Mishkan. And God says there are no mirrors more beautiful than this. And he tells the story about how the women went out into the fields with their mirrors and came to their broken husbands and held up the mirrors in front of themselves and their husbands and says, let's look together at ourselves. My wife likes to call this the first selfie. They looked together with their husbands in the mirror. What were they trying to show? They were trying to remind their husbands that we're one. There's something beautiful here. Let's build off that oneness. And in Mirat Hashem, things will go well for us. Today, we don't need a mirror because we have wedding pictures. People should have as many pictures of themselves together up on the wall. Ideally with the Basar Echad that comes out of wedding pictures, children and grandchildren. And as there's more to emphasize what we've created as one, it becomes more and more powerful. But the message of the women in Mitzrayim that God wanted in His Mishkan was not shrinking into self-pity alone, as Viktor Frankl spoke about in the Holocaust, but remembering the big picture of who we are. Just to give a little bit more breath to this on page 5, and if I had more time, I intend to speak about this more at length. If we look at the beginning of the Shibud in Parshat Vayechi, it's a Parsha Stuma. There's no break between Vayigash and Vayechi. Chazal asked why there's no break, and they said, when Yaakov died, the Shibud began. But it's interesting to see how Chazal formulate what that meant. Nistemu einehem velibam shel Yisrael mitzarat hashibud. The eyes and hearts of the Jewish people became blocked up because of the suffering and narrowness of Shibud. When people are suffering, it's hard for them to empathize, to feel for other people. And the truth is, the Shvatim themselves, when they were being attacked by the viceroy in Egypt, blamed it for their insensitivity towards their brother. Not for having sold him, but, Perek Membed Pasuk Aleph, Vayomu Isha Lachiv, Aval Hashemim Anachnu, we're being treated this way because we're guilty. Alachinu Asher Ra'inu Tzarat Nafsho, for our brother who we saw his suffering, B'tchananu Eleinu, he was crying out to us, V'lo Shamanu. The Ramban infers from this Pasuk, Chishvu Lehem Achzariut La'onish Gadol Yoter Min HaMechira. They considered their insensitivity to their brother as worse than having sold him. The Sforno explains whatever justification they had for selling him. He's a rodef, he's a this, he's a that, he's a tattletale. Your brother is crying out to you. How can you not hear that? How can you not sympathize? It's insensitivity that leads to the Shibud. The Shibud drives further insular insensitivity. And that's why the Geula begins, Shmot Perek Bet. Before the details of Vayar Ish Mitzri Makeh Ish Ivri, Vayar Besivlotam, he sees it, he feels it. Rashi uses the same words here that he used in the beginning of Vayechi. Natan Einav Vilibo Liot Meitzer Aleim. His eyes, his heart allowed him to feel the pain. This was going to be the leader of the Jewish people. He feels for people. This can bring the geula from the narrowness of the Shibud. And beautifully, in the end of that parak, it says, Pasuk Chafei, Vayar Elokim et Bnei Yisrael, God sees now. Vayed Elokim, and He knows. And Rashi says beautifully, Natan Aleim Lev, V'lo Ha'alem Enov. When Jewish leaders sympathize and empathize with each other, God does too. The geula comes through the tikkun of Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, we know from the Sneh that God chose that book, Mishum Imo Anochi Bitzara. We go through all kinds of things as human beings. We go through all kinds of things as married couples. The question is whether we lose that understanding. We are one, and whatever we're suffering with together. Even the things we do to each other that we don't intend, that we do intend, that we hurt, we suffer together, we figure it out together, we are one whole. I'd like to conclude with the third part of the shiur now, which is, how can we accomplish this goal? The first part was to show that the base of the Jewish marriage cell is this appreciation of oneness. The second part of the shiur was, therefore we need to set our goal on developing this perspective in our minds. And the third part is, how can we do it? And I think the answer goes back to what we began with. Remember, we noted on page 1 that there were two types of languages used in Sheva Brachot. The middle one, which speaks about the creation of man and woman from man, is Yotzer Ha'adam. But the first and last language is Bria. Shehakol bara lichvodo. Asher bara sason v'simcha. What does this mean? Let's take a look at page 6. There are two psukim in Tanakh, in Nach, that describe the relationship between man and woman as a metzia. And we already talked about it. Man is looking for that missing piece. The first pasuk in Kohelet, describes it in very scary terms. Umotseani marmi mavet et aisha. Marriage can sometimes be more bitter than death. When we disagree with the people we love the most, it can be the most damaging. When we hurt the people we love the most, it can be the most hurtful. In Mishle, though, it says, Matza isha, matza tov. Finding that spouse is finding the ultimate goodness. In fact, the Gemara in Brachot tells us that when people would get married in Eretz Yisrael, the people, the guests at the wedding would ask, is it a matzah or a motzeh? Right. And they meant these two psukim. One slight difference in the way it's conjugated can make all the difference. Rashi tries to explain to us what it depends upon. Famously, Rashi teaches us on the words ezer kenegdo, that zacha, if a person merits it, it'll be an ezer. A spouse will be someone who helps them. Lo zacha, if you don't merit it, kenegdo lihilachim, the spouse will fight against you and make your life miserable. The source for this Rashi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Zayin, where Rabbi Akiva darshan the names of man and woman, ish v'isha, and he added two words, zachu shechina b'nehem. If they merit it properly, the shechina is with them, and if not, fire consumes them. The basis of this, of course, is that ish v'isha both consist of the letters aleph and shin, fire. What keeps it from being fire is the yud in ish and the hey in isha, yud hey, Hashem's name. Rashi explains this, Shari Chilek et Shmo, etc. The Yushalmi summarizes this beautifully and says, Eif shar le'ish below isha, a man can't live happily without a wife. Eif shar le'isha below ish, and a woman can't be happy without her husband. Eif shar le'shneim below shchinah, and they can't be together without God. The beautiful gematria which expresses this is that Chava and Yudke Vovke together make up the name Adam, the gematria of Adam. For a person to be full, you need your spouse and God as part of the relationship. Which now leads us to the obvious question, how do we make sure that God is part of our relationship? I think there are two points. If we look at Rashi and Sota, the first source in number two, he says that you're loyal to each other. Shelo yehe hu noef velo hi noefet. A couple that has all of their energies, sexual and otherwise, focused on each other, have a bond that truly connects them to each other, and the Shekhinah wants to be there. When we're not truly, completely focused on each other, the Shekhinah wants no place there. The second point is the one I want to focus on. The Baal HaTurim writes on the word shalom that it's the same letters as the word lishmo. Peace can come when people have a common goal, when they're commonly together devoted to something higher than themselves. What can bring two people who naturally are self-centered to connect with each other selflessly? Sheva brachas teach this to us through the first bracha. She'akol baro l'chvodo. If my life is about me, and my spouse's wife is about her, life is about her, then there's no way we can ever truly be about each other. But if both of our lives are about something higher, then we can truly be connected about that through that common pursuit. And I think that's why we begin the Sheva Brocha, before we talk about God having created man and woman, by talking about how God has created everything. A French philosopher on page 7 said very beautifully, love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward together in the same direction. People think love is about how they connect to each other. If that's all it is, sometimes the connection is stronger and sometimes it's weaker. But when we look together in the same direction, we're working together on our life's mission, which is something joint, something we share. We begin before talking about the creation of man and woman with Asher Bara. And we end with Asher Bara. The totality of the world and its mission. It's a beautiful piece by a contemporary rabbi in Israel, Rav Natan Eliyashiv, who develops a lot of these ideas. If I had more time, I'd go with you. You have the text to look at it later. The Yekis have a beautiful minug at weddings. To read the Mizmor of Kuf Chav Chet, and I'd like to read it together with you before we conclude with a piece from Rav Kook. The end of Kuf Chav Chet is a very famous pasuk. We all hope for this. We all hope for children and grandchildren and peace, not just external, but within one's own home. How can we get there? Shira Ma'alot. Asherei kol yirei Hashem haholech v'drachav. Happy is the one who follows God's path. A yirei Hashem isn't someone who fears God, it's someone who follows His path. Yagia kapecha ki tochal asherecha v'tov lach. Pasuk Gimel. Eshtecha kegefen poria biyarkete v'techa. Banecha kishetilei zeitim saviv l'shulchanecha. Who doesn't want to have this feeling of the table? Them, their wives, their children, all unified. Why does this depend on Yirei Hashem, having a woman and children who are unified around you? Why do we say in Pasuk Dalet, Hinei ki chen yivarach gavar Yirei Hashem, so will be blessed the person who is Yirei Hashem? And the answer is simple. If my life is about me, why should my children care about me? My children are going to care about them. That's what they learned from me. But if my life is about something higher, there's a chance that they can see that their lives can mean something by also being about something higher than themselves. And that they'll have a chance of their children identifying with them through that too. That's the model we have to give, and it's hard. Because even though we believe that our lives are about something higher, we don't always express that. We don't always radiate that. We don't always act that way. That's why this mizmor is so important. The Yivarecha Hashem Ureivetu Vureivanim all begins with this. Ki Yechein Yivarech Gavir Hashem. To conclude, Rav Kook writes that the root of peace and oneness between people can come in two ways. It can come through utilitarian purposes. A person realizes he needs friends, he needs help, he needs people to talk to. Rav Kook says the higher level, line 5 on the bottom of page 7, is where it comes from, an appreciation that God expects this and wants this from us. That God wants Jews to be unified. That God wants people to work together. Rav Kook says the nafkamina between the two is, the difference between the two is, how strong and how long these relationships last. When the reason we connect to other people is for utilitarian purposes or the needs for friendship, well, those things will last as long as those needs last. When a person connects to others because there's a sense of a common mission, Ha'achdut, last two lines, Sheba mitzad ha'akara be'erech ha'tachlit ha'elyon, Sheba rak al yedei shalom ha'briyot, Yisodata bi'ahavat b'chlal be'emet v'sofa l'itkayim, Yichurvot yameha kein tosif l'itkadel u'litchazek. If a person's connection isn't selfish, but it's because they have a common goal and they realize that their pursuit of Avodat Hashem and to live their lives based on how God wants them to live, to accomplish God's purposes in this world, they can accomplish them in a more meaningful, powerful way with another person, that's a real relationship. That's a relationship that has staying power. So to summarize and conclude, Judaism sees all marriages as emanating from a oneness that God inserted between the two-ness. The first thing in building that cell is the change of perspective, and those who have been married for a while, the constant reaffirmation of that view of yourself. And the way to be able to get there is to see what your purpose is, your spouse's purpose is, that common purpose, not of socialism that comes and goes, but of Sha'akol Baro Lechvodo, which has always been, is, and will always be. When we build our marriages off strong foundations, when we reaffirm that throughout our lives together, we can be a true oneness, a true cell that can generate the worlds around us of children, grandchildren, and the families that we came from and that we want to perpetuate in challenging times. Shakov to all the speakers and all the committee members, and everyone should have a wonderful day. The next session is supposed to start at 11:20, right?
So we've caught up a little bit. The next session was supposed to start at 11:20. I suggest we'll try and start in 2 or 3 minutes.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.